Welcome to another episode of Girls Dig Muscle Radio. I'm your host Xavier Wills, and I'm joined as always by my IFB physique pro co-host Amy Fox. Amy, welcome to another episode of Girls Dig Muscle Radio. How are you feeling this week?
You're good.
We had your 30th birthday celebrations on the weekend, which was good, and you're back into your diet and you're getting ready for either New York Pro or the Toronto Pro, whatever one kind of comes first. And how's that all going? You're under the guidance of Hidetada Yamagishi, who I don't even know if we mentioned that last show, but you're actually getting prepped by Hide now.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Like, I chose him for a number of different reasons, and one of them was, like, I just think that his conditioning is, you know, incredible. So that's obviously something that I need to work on. And it was really funny because when I Skyped him for the first time, because I met him, I just messaged him on Facebook. I messaged a couple of people, actually, and he got back to me instantly. And, you know, he said, yeah, I'd be happy to prep you, because I was actually finding it a little bit tough to try and find a coach only 8 weeks out. Most of the coaches, you know, they want at least 16, maybe even 20 weeks or more to spend with you before they get going. So, he messaged me back straight away and he said, yep, he's keen. He said, this is my price. And I said to him, can I Skype you and just make sure it's you before I go sending, you know, some strange Facebook person lots of money?
Yeah.
And he said, no problem. So he Skyped me and he was really funny. He said, hello, Amy, it's me. And I was like, yes, indeed it is. He was massive.
That's absolutely awesome. And Hide, like, I've, you know, talked to Milos and stuff about it before, and Hide's like one of the toughest workers in bodybuilding by the sounds of it. He's one of the hardest trainers, and apparently he just does whatever basically he's told if he has a prep coach. So he's got obviously going to be pretty hard on you, I reckon, Amy. And I mean, what has he told you so far?
I sent through all my photos and things from FitX, from the ProQ, and the first thing he says to me, he goes, your condition is not good enough. And I was like, oh, okay. He goes, yes, we need to improve on this. And I was like, yes, we do.
That's awesome. And it's great. Like, I mean, obviously you don't want to necessarily hear that, but in a way it's good to hear that because you know, you're getting that from an IFB pro and he's going to be honest with you. So that's always good.
Yeah. I'm really nervous about starting with a new coach, but excited at the same time as well. Like, it had to happen. It was just too difficult for me to, you know, have a partner and be coached by them at the same time, especially if it hasn't gone so great. So just for my own mental well-being and sanity, I just needed to go with someone else and sort of like cut the cord completely. So, there's not much more to say about that than I've got a new coach now and just trying to look forward and just trying to bring an even better package to the stage next time. And hopefully all I can ask for is that I just keep improving, Xavier.
Yeah. And he's worked with some of the best in the business as well. Like, he's worked under Milos. He's worked under, I think, Eric DeLauro, who was Jay Cutler's trainer for a while. You know, he's trained with Charles Glass. He's kind of, you know, you're kind of getting almost like, you know, it's like you're indirectly getting prepped by Milos and Eric DeLauro and stuff, and he's taking the best bits from those guys. So,
yeah, absolutely love Milos. Like, I would have loved to have been prepped by Milos, but again, just a little bit too close to home. So, I just really needed to go elsewhere. And the thing is, like, I knew that Hide had been prepped by Milos at some point. So that made me feel really, really confident in his abilities as well, like, let alone just based on how he looks. And I just think that he's got sort of like a real killer sort of instinct. Like, he broke his wrist before one of the Arnolds, I think, might have even been last year.
Yeah, it was last year's Arnold.
Like, who does that?
He still got on stage. It was like 4 weeks late after he broke his wrist. And then he went on to compete in more shows after that as well. Like, you think, you know, like 4 weeks later, I think he competed in the, or 5 weeks later, he competed in the Arnold Brazil, I think, last year as well. So it's like, he didn't just, like, do the Arnold, which he was kind of committed to. He kept on his diet and then competed again. Like, it's pretty amazing. He couldn't – I don't think he could actually clinch anything with his hand or anything like that. So he had to – I think he used some of those, like – I'm not sure if it was him or if it was maybe someone else that had an injury. Used some of those things that you attach to your arm and you actually do exercises with cables and stuff.
Yeah, it's like a little hook.
Yeah.
It straps to your wrist and then you hook it onto the bars and the cables and things, and off you go.
Yeah, have you ever used one of those?
No, I haven't, but I saw a guy in Sydney, actually. Katie Morris introduced me to him, and he was actually a shark attack victim. So he'd lost, I think he'd lost his leg, and he'd lost his hand or part of his arm. And he would, like, you know, use these different grips and claws and sort of, you know, it'll just help him exercise. And he was just, like, going for it. And it was just, it was really cool to see, you know, like, it was just awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. And we get, like, pretty lazy, probably, like, a lot of us get a bit lazy with our training sometimes in terms of, you know, changing up the exercises and things. You just go into the gym and take for granted, you know, that you can just do whatever. You know, you can go, oh yeah, that machine's free, I'll jump on that or whatever. But, you know, having something like that where you've got to be inventive and think about your training more, I suppose in a way, like initially, you probably get better results maybe because you're thinking up different things and you get a bit more creative.
Yeah, and I think it's like good for your mind as well. Like you stay positive, you know, and anything sort of bring you down because there's always a way around something. And I think that's really important with comp prep because, like, even this morning, I don't know if I've told you this either, but Shane Smith has been training me, like PTing me in the morning. So I booked in with him pretty much from now until the pro show in 8 weeks' time, and he's just been absolutely destroying me. Like, I thought I was training hard before, and yeah, he had me on the leg extension yesterday as my warm up, and literally the first set, I was puffing and I was like screaming in my head, like it was so hard.
Yeah.
It was really.
Oh, that's awesome. Does that, like, being around someone like obviously Shane and then getting advice from Milos, does that help you stay on track more with not only obviously your training, which is obviously going to keep you on track, but obviously with your diet as well?
Yeah, it does. Like, I'm a stress eater as well. So if I'm feeling like stressed out and things like that, then I grab the food and I sort of, you know, that's sort of my downfall, I think. So having people like Shane, because Shane is super positive, like, 100%, like so good and so motivating and so uplifting. And same with Milos. Like, Milos has a really nice way about him where he will, you know, mention your weaknesses but make you feel good about wanting to tackle them, not sort of put you down or anything like that. Like, he really has like a uplifting, positive, motivating nature, and I thrive on that. I love that.
Yeah, it's almost like I feel like with trainers and prep coaches and stuff, it's almost like a gift when someone can be positive but can be very, very honest and blunt with you as well. And it's that real good combination where, you know, they can be blunt, but it's not like they're beating you down and talking down to you or whatever. But it's like it's like a really fine balance that I suppose a lot of trainers have to.
Yeah, I think that's what makes a good prep coach too. Like, if they're able to master that, then that's just, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's really
definitely. But, Amy, we're going to talk a little bit about the Arnold Classic Australia in 2015. It sounds like a long while off now because, obviously, it's only recently 2014, but it's under a year. Last year, me and Scotty and it was actually just me and Scotty at that point, we talked a bit about, you know, the next pro qualifier. We got a bit excited about it. We talked about the pro qualifying classes and all that kind of stuff and who might be at the top of, you know, who might be the early kind of favourites, I guess, going into it, and who might emerge and come up in some of these divisions and possibly take the pro card from someone who, you know, obviously competed this year. And, you know, it's exciting because, you know, the top girls are out of that now, which is obviously one of them is you, and you were the hot favourite going into that physique pro qualifier, and you won your pro card. So that kind of opens it up now to someone else, and you're going to have someone else joining you next year in that pro ranks. And obviously we've got bikini and figure as well, which we'll talk about. So let's start off with bikini. Now, I've got a couple of names I've just written down off the top of my head. Samantha Jane Heron, she was going to do it this year, but she didn't. She's obviously should be, she's going to be a contender. We've got Marika, who competed this year, and she kind of ended her year off on a disappointing note, finishing second in her class over here at the O'Mara Classic, which obviously she would have probably expected and wanted to win. We got Zia Smedka, who was going to do a pro qualifier, but she didn't for whatever reason.
What, Zia? I'm going to have words with that girl.
Yeah, I actually sent her a message on Facebook, I think about 6 weeks out, and I said, are you doing pro qualifier? And she said, no, I can't remember what her reasoning was or if she said she's a bit burnt out or what it was, but yeah, she would have had she obviously beat Ebony in the O'Mara Classic in October. So, I mean, she might have won a pro card had she done it. So she's going to be a favourite.
Exactly. I was, curious to see what would happen because obviously sometimes with the American judging, sometimes they go for, like, the girls that are a little bit more muscular. But then again, based on like who won the Olympia for the bikini, perhaps Zia would have won again. So yeah, it's hard to say. But they were both definitely the top two, really. Or even Sarah Allen. Sarah Allen looked pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's my next one on the list. Sarah Allen. She's you know, she looked really good. And do you know the actual placings that came out of the Bikini Pro qualifier, or have you heard anything about that?
There's some, like, I've heard a couple of little placings and things thrown around for the figure, but I don't know how accurate it is.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you hear this and you hear it, like, through, like, five or six different people, and sometimes it gets mixed up, so we won't put anything out there.
But when I was competing, like, a few years ago, I was always told that I came second, and then, you know, you'd talk to the girl that also didn't place first that was in your lineup as well, and she says to you that she placed second, and she got told she played. So, you know, we all placed second, or we all came one behind the winner or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. But we've got a couple more WA girls I just want to quickly mention. Alice Round, I'm going to assume she's going to do it next year because she missed this year's, and, you know, she talked to a coach, Lane Norton. He said, no, you're not doing this year's, because he wanted more time to work with her and get her metabolism cracking.
I met Lane Norton yesterday.
You met him?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, because he's over in Perth at the moment, isn't he?
He is. It was so funny because Alice had him and, like, all the boys at Anytime Fitness in Applecross, and they were prancing around, like, doing bikini poses and things. Jeez, it was funny.
Oh, I actually saw a photo of Lane wearing a pink Muscleworks singlet.
Yeah, he's actually very talented. Maybe he should, like, take bikini. He's good at it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if he's got the shape, though.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, obviously Alice Round, she's going to be a contender in there. She was in the overall against Zia and also Ebony Quince at the Omara Classic in October. And we've got Sally Yamamoto as well. Yamamoto.
Sally is to die for. She's gorgeous.
Yeah, so she's another one that, you know, skipped the pro qualifier this year, and I think she can do it next year and be a contender as well. So we've got a big crop of girls. I mean, I'm missing out girls as well. Like, I'm missing out plenty of girls.
Yes.
But they're the ones off the top of my head that really, you know, can legitimately win it, I think. And I think there's a really good crop of girls there that you can say, you know, like, anyone can win.
Yep.
So, yep. Amy, going into it, if you had to pick someone, I mean, I know it's tough, but if you just had to pick someone off that list, or, you know, if you've got someone else in mind as well, who would you pick to win it?
For next year, based on just how the girls are looking right now, maybe I'd have to say Zia.
Yep. Yeah.
I'd have to say Zia. And I think it would probably be between, at the moment, how it stands, how they're looking exactly right now, Zia and maybe Sarah Allen.
Yeah, that's exactly the same as me. I was going to say Zia or Sarah Allen. I think maybe Sally could be a contender as well. And then obviously you got like Samantha Jane Heron and Marika as well. So it's going to be, it just depends how they look on the day, really, like, because these girls are so close. So
Sam's pretty flawless as well, isn't she? Like, she's...
Yeah. I think Sam's got a really, really good look for it, but obviously we don't know if she's competing or if anyone in this list is really competing, but I do have a hunch that the girls like Zia and Alice and Sally will be stepping up to that pro qualifier next year for sure.
Yeah, and it depends, like, you know, who rocks up on the day as well. So, like, I think they've all in their own right are good enough. However, you know, I would say Zia needs to put on a little bit more muscle, but then again, I'm not a judge. However, if she's standing on stage next to Sally, she's going to look more muscular anyway, so it might work in her favor. So I don't know, based on them choosing Ebony last time, and Ebony was the more muscular out of the girls.
I agree. Let's move on. Let's talk about figure. This year, I mean, we had we obviously had Elian Lopez take out the figure, and I mean, she did it. It was a lot of like people saying, oh, you know, maybe she shouldn't have won, but there's a lot of people saying, nah, she should have won, like, and people very convinced that she was the convincing winner. So there's a lot of opinions going around. I think a lot of the people saying she shouldn't have won were perhaps by people that had, you know, new other girls competing in it and stuff like that. But
I think it's personal preference on what type of shape you like too. Like, Eliane is very unique in her shape. And like, if you look at someone like Andy Forbes is a lot longer and leaner, like, in my opinion. So you either like that look or you don't. And I think that the judges obviously preferred Eliana's look this time because they're all just so different.
Yeah. I totally agree. But, I mean, we obviously, let's talk about some of the other girls that did it this year that will, you know, I think a lot of them will likely be back next year. Sylvia Kovetskova. Now, when Scotty and I talked about it last year, she was a girl that I predicted straight after pro qualifier last year. And she was second last year. She was, I don't know, did she get second this year or?
Second or third, I'm not sure.
Yeah, so she might have even got second 2 years in a row. Yeah. I'm not too sure on the exact placings or if she got third. But she's been right up there 2 years in a row, and I think she's going to be another a big contender next year as well. People say sometimes her legs aren't up to where her upper body is, perhaps her a little bit up and down, but I think she has improved her legs, and I think her shape is absolutely phenomenal, and I think she's only improved. So I think she's definitely going to be a contender next year. We've got, obviously, Katie Morris. I'm not sure if she'll be competing next year or not. I think, you know, obviously, she's been... I spoke to Mick about this, and she's been there or thereabouts for quite a few years now, and it's got to be almost like a little bit, you know, like a little bit heartbreaking for Katie because she's always right up there, but she, you know, hasn't been able to win a pro card yet. So do you think Katie's going to compete next year?
I really hope she does. I have a feeling she won't because I know that she put her heart and soul into, you know, this pro qualifier, and obviously she didn't place top three and she was absolutely gutted. And I know that on the weekend in Queensland she placed second to Julianne Jenkins. And I mean, it's really hard. Like, I think she feels, you know, a little bit let down. I know she put her all into it, and to keep getting you know, second or not placing when you feel like you're bring a better condition to stage each time is tough. But I was really proud of Katie knowing that she went for the Queensland titles because I just didn't think that she was going to after the results at FedEx. So as far as it stands now, I think it's a no. However, I'm hoping she changes her mind.
Yeah, for sure. Now, two girls that I think will be right up there next year is Emily Jean Bisgrove-Cole. I thought she looked great. She didn't place top three, which she's probably disappointed with, I'm guessing.
She
Because she looked absolutely phenomenal.
She did. I was having a chat to MJ after the Pro Q at FedEx as well, and she's another one, like her and Katie, oh my goodness. And again, like Sylvia, I mean, they're all really, really down about, you know, not placing better, and they all brought their A game. And I know that MJ in particular, like she said to me, you wait till next year, Ames. I'm going to come back bigger and better than ever. So I can only imagine what she's going to bring to stage next time, because she brought a smaller package this year, which she was told to by the judges, and she did that. But, like, me personally, I liked MJ when I actually competed with her in figure FedEx last year. She was a little bit bigger, and I like that MJ, so I'm really excited to see what she brings to the stage next time.
Yeah, I think that look would suit her a little bit more, and now her stage confidence and her physique has kind of matured a little bit, I think she'd look good with that muscle back on, and I think she'll do very, very well next year. Andy Forbes, she was probably the front runner actually coming into the comp this year, off the back of her second place finish at the Arnold Amateur, where she obviously just missed out on a pro card there, and she probably only really just missed out on a pro card here as well. Do you think she's going to be a front runner going into next year?
Yeah, again, I think next year is going to be a really, real big mixed bag of girls with different strengths. In my opinion, I actually really liked Andy Forbes from the back. Like, I thought she won the majority of the back poses. She's just got awesome, awesome V taper, very tight glutes, lovely tight hamstrings. So, yeah, she'll be competitive for sure. And Sylvia's another one. Like, Sylvia's back pose, like, Sylvia's just got such dense muscle in her back. Like, she's amazing.
Yeah, she's very round, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah. But also Belinda Potter, she might be back again. She's done the two pro qualifiers. And, I mean, just because the standard's been so high, you just haven't been able to put her at the top there.
I know. And, like, for me, the thing that gets me with Belinda is her shape. Like, her overall shape and symmetry is just beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be very, very tight next year. If you had to pick one person going into next year, who would you pick, Amy?
Don't ask me that. maybe the girls can ring up and whoever pays me the most. I don't know. I just don't know.
Every girl that you don't pick will be offended by it. But I'm going to... Oh, geez, it is tough. I mean, there's actually...
You pick because they've all got different strengths. And I know that they're all, like,
super determined to bring an even better package next time. So I can only imagine what's going to be on stage next year. It's going to be better than ever. So I have no idea. I think it's going to come down to, as well, like, they're all going to have great conditioning. They're all going to have an improved like symmetry and all those things. So I guess whoever presents the best will win on the day. Like, whoever looks the most like a pro when she walks and when she moves, and if her transitions are neat and tidy. And I think it's going to come down to that, to be honest.
Yeah. Now, I'll put it on the line, and just based on what you just told me then and what the judges kind of look for, I'm going to guess Emily Jean Bisgrove Cole with maybe like Andy Forbes being right there, and Sylvia being right there as well. And I don't know who else is competing, but I think it'll be something like that. And then most girls, you know, I think any one of those girls can win it like quite easily. So it's I'm just going off what the judges might go for, I think. Based on actually what they went for this year with Eliane, it was, I think MJ was probably almost like a slightly smaller Eliane this year, maybe with, you know, a slightly different shape, but she was closest to her, I think.
Yeah, that's right. And last year it was the other way around. Like, MJ was bigger than Eliane, so they did the swapsies. But yeah, don't you worry, MJ will come back, and she'll be, I know she'll be a little bit bigger and harder than she was this year, for sure.
Awesome, I can't wait. Now let's talk about women's physique, your class, Amy, where you took the pro card this year, and you were, I picked you the whole way, and I believed in you the whole way. Now, I mean, I think he's up against two other girls, weren't you, or three?
I was only up against two others. It was meant to be a third girl, Sarah Marie, but Sarah hasn't been sort of on the IFBB scene for that long, and she did qualify for the pro Q, but she decided not to do it in the end, which I was really disappointed about, because I think that she's got quality muscle and great conditioning, and she ended up doing the open. Yeah, I wish she did the pro Q, because, I feel a little bit funny that there wasn't sort of more girls, and you always want to win against a big, huge, like massive line, like the figure. Like, that to me is ideal. Like, everyone brings their A game. Everyone's looking on the money. It's just more satisfying if you win against a big group. So I feel like I've still got a lot to prove in terms of that. Like, I, only having two girls in my division for the pro Q was... yeah, a little bit sad.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about a few of the girls. Obviously, Sarah Marie. Do you think she will be a contender next year?
Yeah, for sure. There's a couple. Obviously, I think Sarah Marie and Nikki Ford, and I really, really rate Louise White, actually. Louise White is just so shredded, and she's got such a beautiful shape. So, those three girls, I think, are high on my list. And if she brings her conditioning in, Ebony as well. So Ebony wore a light blue costume at their Queensland show. And, her conditioning wasn't spot on, but I tell you what, she's got extreme muscle mass. She's got a gorgeous shape. If she can tighten things up a little bit, she'll be very competitive.
Yep, sure. And obviously the two girls you're up against this year, Nikki Ford and, you mentioned Nikki, and obviously Sarah Alexander as well. Now, WA girl who won the Omara Classic, Erin Fruitt, she's improved out of sight from when she competed in October, just gone. And, her conditioning wasn't where it needed to be to perhaps, take out a title like this or anything. But her shape is really, really good, isn't it?
Yeah, she's got a lovely shape. She's got a great V-taper, and she's got, again, a bit like Sylvia, like very thick muscles through her back. Erin's impressive. Mingo.
Yeah, if she just gets just her overall presentation just a little bit better and her condition a bit better, I think she'll be very, very good. But also, one I wanted to mention that I think could step into physique, and I mean, I think if she did and she really pushed it, I think she'd probably win it, to be honest. That's Rach White. I mean, we haven't heard a lot from her. I was hoping she'd do FedEx, at least in figure or physique. She's done figure her whole career, and she had to shrink down a little bit for October to... fit the figure criteria, and then, then she didn't place as well. I think she looks better when she's actually a little bit bigger and fuller, and she's got those big, she's got big arms and quite big legs and stuff.
She's got the arms, like, she's got arms exactly like Daniel Bailey, I think.
Yeah, and she,
she's got,
I mean,
killer arms.
I think she could make a massive name for herself if she did do physique. Do you think she's kind of, not wasting a talent, but I suppose, yeah, almost like wasting a talent in a sense, doing figure when she could be, you know, a very, very likely physique pro.
I think she'd be great in physique. The only thing is, I think that she's got like her torso is very tiny, but she's just got these massive, massive arms. But I think just with, you know, some extra training through the back and through the back of the legs and things, that she would sort of bulk up a bit through those areas and be extremely competitive. And the thing is, like, the thing that I like about Rachel is she's gorgeous. So I think she'll just do wonders for the division in you know, attracting other girls to that division because of just her beauty. Like, she's a pretty girl.
Yeah,
pretty
exactly.
Girl with big shoulders. I love it.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, if she was to do the pro qualifier next year, if she qualifies and obviously does it, which is, you know, who knows what kind of chance that is, I think she's my pick to win it. Outside of that, you mentioned obviously Louise White. I'm a big fan of her physique. I think, you know, if she's the one, if Rach isn't in it, I think Louise White will win it. And then obviously you've got other girls as well that, you know, we can't even, you know, we don't even know who's going to be competing and stuff. But Amy, if you had to pick one, can you pick one for us?
Can I pick two?
You can pick two.
I think that if they go for conditioning on the day, Louise White. If they go for muscle, then Nikki Ford.
Yep, very good picks. I like it. Now, that's it for our kind of Arnold Australia talk. And I know that...
Can I just say one more thing?
Yep.
If Vesna is listening, Vesna, it's about time you hopped over to physique. Yep, you're done with figure. It's time to start with physique training. So
she looks great as well.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. I'm very, very excited for Arnold Classic Australia next year. And it's going to be absolutely massive. And I've talked to Scott about how hard Tony's working on this and to make it such a big success and to get, you know, a huge amount of sports involved. And the expo is going to be apparently 50% bigger this year. So it's going to be, you know, last, you know, FedEx this year was only, you know, 2/3 of what the Arnold Australia is going to be next year in terms of how big the expo is. But, you know, there's going to be sports outside of that as well. There's talk of swimming and all this other stuff as well. So it's going to be absolutely enormous. And I can't wait to see what Tony does with it.
Arm wrestling, all sorts of things. I know. It's going to be great. It's really exciting. And the thing is, it's nice for all your family to come along and you know, be a part of as well. Like, My mum and my sister and Nana had such a blast at FedEx, just walking around, having a look at all the stalls and the booths and things. And there's just so much going on, so much entertainment that you can't miss it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for people that, you know, say, oh, I'm saving up for this, or I don't want to spend money on that. I want to, you know, and they go out maybe on the weekends or whatever and blow $200. It's like, seriously, just save it and then go to FedEx and you'll have a so much better time. It's like, I'd prefer to go to FedEx or now the Arnold Australia for that weekend and spend whatever, then, you know, then just blow it on, you know, some other crap or go, even going like international on an international holiday. I'd rather go to Arnold Australia because you see all these people that you haven't seen in ages and, just all the things that are going on. It's just absolutely amazing. So I suggest anyone who didn't go this year was thought, oh, you know, I wanted to go, but I didn't go because whatever, start saving for next year. And I know even Kerry Wood, who owns 24/7 Power Fitness, she's got, she's booked her hotel already. So she's very, very
yes,
keen.
I've got to book one too. Yep. Good stuff. I know we've got to get in early actually, Xavier. We better do that soon.
Yeah, I know. I know. There's just so many things going on. I'm trying to get all this contest coverage up from all the comps that we've been at and stuff like that. There's so much going up. So check out rxmuscle.com.au and you can check out all the interviews. And your interview, obviously, from both at FedEx and also from the Omara Classic where we interviewed you after you turned pro. So make sure you check that out. But if... You know, if the Doherty's don't have enough going on already, they're going to be promoting a new show, which Amanda Doherty has posted up on Facebook, and she said there's more details on the way. But she's going to be doing an all-female show, which is, I don't know if this is a first for IFBB in Australia or if there's been one before. Actually, no, there is, of course, there's one. Yeah, there's one this year. It was up on, in Queensland. But she's going to be doing one in Victoria, I believe.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Amanda Doherty Classic, and it's going to be held, I believe, in July. Is it July this year?
July this year, and everyone's going nuts for it already. The girls are just, there's a big buzz behind it. Like, I think it's going to be excellent.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely want to get over to Melbourne to cover that FireXMuscle.com.
I thought you were going to say go over to compete.
No, I don't think so. But
I'm sure Amanda would let you maybe, you know, get up and strut your stuff, bikini style.
I think I'll be fine. But yeah, we definitely want to be over to cover that. And from everything I've heard from, you know, these all-female comps, they always seem like they're, I don't know, just because it's just women there, they seem to actually, like, women have more camaraderie than some other comps. I don't know what it is, but that's what I always hear from these all-female comps. Have you ever actually competed in one or been to one, Amy?
No, I haven't. I really would have liked to have gone to the Queensland one, but it was just too far, and I've spent so much money with all this travel recently. It's just killing me, but I'm desperate to go and see one, and I would really, really like to go along to Amanda's for sure. Yeah. We should make a trip of it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely going to be there. I'm sure Tony and Amanda will have us there, and it sounds like it's going to be a massive comp, and hopefully it's something that doesn't just it's not just a 1 year thing. Hopefully this is an annual thing and it happens every year. And I'm sure we've obviously, you know, Amanda and Tony behind this show, that it will be an annual thing and it will happen every year.
Oh, for sure, it'll take off. There's no chance of it failing with those two.
No, they're literally, like, when Tony and Amanda do anything, and I always think, this won't fail, this is going to work, like, yeah, straight away, so it's pretty amazing. But, Amy, before we head to a break, I just want to mention, we came across this on Facebook, that there's actually the first ever female, I suppose you call, little person to compete in NPC in figure, and her name's Amanda Loy, and she goes on, how tall is she? She's 4 feet tall and weighs 72 pounds, which in kilos is like, what, like 32 kilos or something, or 31 kilos?
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
Yeah, she's tiny.
And she's got like, I mean, most, like, you know, little people have, you know, quite disproportionate physiques, but her physique actually is like really quite good. I mean, she's kind of blessed that, and obviously through her hard work and stuff as well, that she doesn't have, you know, a disproportionate physique like crazy.
Yeah, no, it's like, I've had a look at it and she's completely in proportion. Like, she's got a beautiful body, and it was nice because I was actually watching the YouTube clip of her, and her trainer modified all the exercises so that she could actually, you know, fit on the machines. And because I even have that problem with some of the gyms in Perth. Like, some of the machines are made for men, and it's just the biomechanics of it just doesn't quite work right. So I can imagine she'd run into a lot of problems training at most gyms. So it was really cool to see that he, you know, modified things, and she's able to develop and grow her muscles just the same as anyone else. And she's ended up with a nice balanced lean physique. She looked great.
Yeah, and there's actually someone said that she, you know, she wanted to turn pro and stuff like that, and unless they're doing a little person pro league or something like that, like how they've done the wheelchair pro league and all that stuff, I don't think that's going to happen just by, you know, virtue of a height and all that kind of stuff, and the girls should be up against. But I mean, it's a pretty amazing story. She's only 22 years old. She's a nursing student, which I imagine that's got to, like, you know, if she's trying to get into nursing, that's got to be kind of a challenge in itself, with just, I suppose, like, everyday things. And you mentioned, like, in the gym as well, like, you know, if I noticed, like, some things where you do, like, a leg press or something, and it's like you have to be at least, you know, 5'4" or 5'6" or something to actually sometimes get the leg press off, you know what I mean? So it's like, for her doing something like that, it's just, can't use that, like, it's almost like, we're kind of talking about this with something else, but
very limiting.
Yeah, exactly. So
very limiting. So, cause I have trouble, I'm 5'4" and I have trouble on the leg press, like unracking it. That's on the lowest level. And I also have problems on, some of the hamstring curl machines at, certain gyms. Cause they're just too long.
Yeah, exactly.
The lever is just all wrong.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's got to be incredibly challenging for her, but good on her. And on that note, Amy, we're going to head to a break and we'll have our guest of the week up next. And then you and I will be back to wrap up the show.
Editor-in-chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
This is IFBB Pro Sabrina Taylor, and I'm down under with Girls Dig Muscle Radio. Throw a brawn on that bobby.
Welcome back to Girls Dig Muscle Radio. This week, Amy and I are joined by one of Australia's top amateur figure competitors, the one and only Katie Morris. Katie, welcome to Girls Dig Muscle Radio.
Hey guys, thank you very much for having me.
It's our absolute pleasure. Now, you were actually on the first ever Aussie Muscle Radio, which a lot of people won't actually know, but...
I remember that. I listened to that. It was good.
Did you really? Did you listen to it when we first put it up?
Yeah, I sure did.
Oh, that's awesome.
You're making me feel old.
But you competed this year. You did the pro qualifier once again. What was this? Was this your third pro qualifier you've done?
It was, yes.
I mean, obviously you've done a few of them now. How was the whole, obviously, dieting experience and stuff this year?
Look, it was amazing. I really had my heart set on going back and doing another prep with Lane Norton. He's a little bit of a name around the bodybuilding arena, so I'm sure most people know who he is. I really like the If It Fits Your Macros style of getting ready for a show, and I know I've had some amazing results with Lane before, so I really was quite excited about giving that another go. We did a 16-week prep. Maybe I wasn't as lean as I thought I was at the start of the prep. But I'd put some great muscle on, and I just was very excited to kind of see, you know, how it all ended up looking at the end of the prep and at stage time. So, yeah, I did 16 weeks with him. We did a cyclic macro thing, and I really just sort of said to him in the beginning, I just had a real objective just to come in nice and full, which is something that I personally feel that I may have not been able to take to stage to the other, maybe some of the other pro cues. So that was definitely what I was aiming to achieve.
I think you definitely achieved exactly what you were going for. You did seem to have a fuller look, and I was very impressed with the way you looked this year as well. I thought it was your best ever look that you brought to the stage. Do you think this was your best ever look this year?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Now, obviously going forward, you kind of made a little bit of a post on Facebook, saying you're not sure what you want to do in terms of, like, you basically suggested that you're not happy doing, you know, basically the whole bodybuilding / figure thing that you have been doing for like 9 years now. I mean, is this almost like at the end of a road or the end of a chapter in of your story, or are you going to kind of just sit back and think about it and maybe decide, you know, in a year or whenever?
I'm a really straight up honest person, Xavier, and people that actually know me, like not Facebook land, like really know me as a person will know this about me. I put my heart and soul into this sport. I've been competing for almost 10 years, and I've had the sport running through my veins for so long. I live and eat and sleep and breathe it. And when I get ready for a show, I really just put my all into it. So I become very emotionally invested. And when I did the 2012, I did both Arnold's. I did the World Championships. I placed in the semi-finals in Poland and in a lineup of 28 girls, which I was really, really, really excited about. I did the pro Q and placed second in points. I won the Australasian title, and I competed in four countries in five different shows in four different countries. So that was over an 8.5 month period. I was advised to have a year off and, you know, just step back mentally and physically and just have a break, which I did. So when I got back from Poland and Spain doing the Arnold Europe and the World Championships, I just really came back really determined to just put my head straight down and just go for it for 12 months and put on as much muscle as I could because I believed that that was the only thing missing from my package at that stage. So when I got to the end of the 12 months, I started my prep with Lane. We did 16 weeks. I got back on stage at the Pro-Q, really believing that I had a really, really good shot at the pro card. And it just didn't go anything like the way I anticipated. So I guess for my own self, in my own selfish way, for my own selfish reasons, I felt extremely disheartened and disappointed with the way that it panned out. And the only thing I knew to do from there was to just get back on the horse because I couldn't finish a season like that. And also having done 16 weeks of diet, I didn't really feel like I could just do one show and feel satisfied because it was a big prep. So I made a decision with Harry to go on to do another show. And I got a little bit of feedback that the judges would have liked to have seen me a little bit leaner. So that was their opinion. And I took that advice on board and I got a lot leaner between the two shows. I actually ended up dropping 1.5 kilos in 13 days. I dropped my carbs right down and I brought a much tighter package to the all-female. And I ended up, as it turned out, placing second there. I, again, was very disappointed with the way that the placings and the results of the show went. I really feel like I took perfect figure criteria to the stage in Queensland, and I really want to say that's absolutely no disrespect to anyone else who was on stage because it really was an amazing lineup. But Xavier, I just felt like I took to the stage what was asked of me, and I didn't really understand how I ended up placing where I placed. So, I think the whole thing, I just sort of came away from it feeling like I had a pretty bruised ego and quite disheartened. I came so close in both pro qualifiers over the last few years, and this time I wasn't even in the top three. So I felt like I actually wasn't even really considered this year for the pro card. I'd be lying if I said I didn't struggle with that coming out of the show.
Can I just ask, I know that, because you made another post on Facebook, obviously, congratulating Julianne and all that sort of thing, because she did look phenomenal, of course. And, how hard is it being a part of, so many pro-Q? Because I doubt that any other female in Australia at the moment has attempted as many pro qualifiers as you, plus then gone away to just – Sylvia, has she had – yeah.
Both of us have done three, yeah.
Three? So, what sort of advice, or do you think that there was a better way you could have sort of come off stage? Because obviously the disappointment, what it was, almost overwhelming. So how do you sort of learn to control that and so that it doesn't kind of get out of hand and so people aren't offended and things like that afterwards? Because I know you. I know that you're not out to upset people or bring down other competitors, but it's, a highly emotional sport and people take things to heart, and it's very hard not to upset people when you're unhappy with a decision because you really honestly feel like you brought your best package ever. And it's hard to sort of be critical of the judges and not be critical of the winner at the same time.
Correct. What can I say about that? I think, this will be the best way to explain it. Both of the lineups I was in this season were the caliber of athlete was just absolutely incredible. And I will also say that the caliber of athlete at the Pro-Q this year was just out of this world. Every single girl that was on that stage, A, deserved to be there. B, some of those girls, some of those girls are 8 years younger than me to achieve the standard that they achieved and even be in that lineup at such a young age, really is quite amazing. So they should be really proud of themselves, and I know that they are. MJ, Elian, all those girls really have had an incredible run this last couple of years, and I do absolutely take my hat off to all of them. Sylvia's perseverance in these last couple of years. She just keeps coming back, and you know, she was a little girl that didn't have legs, and now she's just an absolutely phenomenal package. All those girls. So yeah, look, I think coming away from the walking off stage and how you manage all those feelings, I think all I could really say is the judging panel, everyone on a judging panel has got a personal preference and idea of how a figure competitor should look. Yeah. You know, some of them think that someone like me, for example, has got short levers. So that gives the illusion that my biceps and triceps are very big. Perhaps to some judges, they would think too big for figure.
Yeah.
That's just one example of something that they might see if I'm on stage. But there's little things about every figure competitor that you might look at in that same way, and it may be perceived on stage as a weakness, if you know what I mean, or not necessarily a weakness, but perhaps something that goes against the criteria. And I think that that's where it gets very tricky because, you know, there will be judges that prefer that long line, for example, Eliane Lobez's physique, and she's got a beautiful line. She really has. You know, MJ's got longer lines. Sylvia and I are more muscular. You know, I could just go on and on and on, but we don't all look the same. So, you know, on the day, I really think the judges have their work cut out for them. They've got to go with a look. Yeah. And we don't all look the same. It's as simple as that. So, you know, that's going to be disappointing for competitors, but all you can do is just congratulate everyone that you're on the stage with and just recognise that we've all worked really hard to be there. And as disappointing as it is at the time, and yep, you've invested a lot of emotion and time into your prep. That's not just me, you know. That's every single girl that steps on those stages. So you know, we're all out there vulnerable, putting our bodies out there on stage to be judged. And you know, the way that the placings go, that's just one of those things. You just have to roll with the punches. You know, they go with a look that they go with on the day, and you just have to roll with it.
Katie, do you think it's like helpful or maybe even a hindrance to actually ask for judges' feedback?
Because, I think it's a hindrance.
Yeah, I was kind of getting that impression from you as well, because it's very hard when you hear some judges might say, yeah, like you said, short levers makes you look sort of a little bit out of proportion perhaps, and then other judges say, no, you're very, very full and I had you placing first. Like, that must be tough. That's tough to hear, because how do you improve on that?
Yeah. You know, if I separate myself from every single person's opinion with regard to this season and how it may have been judged and what people think of what they saw on stage, I would have to say that in 8-9 years of competing, I was absolutely my best this season just gone. And I want to be able to reflect on that and feel, you know, feel good about that and feel proud of that and not just feel negative, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Now,
yeah.
Katie, would you like, obviously we're not writing you off yet or anything, but would you consider moving into like another sport or some other type of, I don't know, venture or something? Because if you obviously, you know, don't decide not to do figure anymore or anything like that, would you just stay in the gym and just do the training and just eat well and stuff like that? Or would you move into another sport where you can be kind of competitive?
Like CrossFit, perhaps.
No way. I'm not doing CrossFit. No to CrossFit. Yeah, possibly. Xavier, I could be in the gym and train and stay in shape and probably feel pretty happy about that. I just don't know yet whether or not I can move forward and just be happy to just get on stage and be happy with how I look. The history tells me that that I'm not very good at doing that.
You're too competitive.
Yeah,
I think you struggle.
I'm too competitive. You know, I want to win. I don't know how else to say it, and I don't like it when I don't win. So
that's almost like a good thing as well, though. That's almost a good thing if you are obviously going for a win, and you are like, you know, that's how most you know, winners actually think. They love to win and they hate it when they lose. So.
Yeah, no, look, I know I've had some great conversations with some really successful people even in this sport, you know, and so many people have said to me, but that's what makes you good, Katie. So, you know, that drive to be the best and to want to be the best has probably pushed me through preps. You know, it's pushed me through diet. It's stopped me from cheating. It's made me squat more weight. You know, it's made me continue through a prep when I've thought, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to quit. So, yeah, it's not all bad, but you know, it can just sting a little bit on the other side. And I'm just trying to process whether or not I can I can do any more of that.
Put yourself through it again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, was the pro card, is that your only, I mean, if you were to come back and compete again, would the pro card be your only motivation? And was it your only motivation this year to compete?
This year, absolutely, yes. Moving forwards, I made a really clear decision after the pro Q this year that I wouldn't pursue the pro card anymore. And it was actually really nice to have felt like I'd made such a concrete decision on that, because it's something that I had pursued really ruthlessly for 3 straight years. And it was all I saw, Xavier. It was the only thing in my mind was just that I was just going to push like crazy until I got it across the line.
Yeah.
But I reassessed after the third pro Q this year and just thought, for whatever reason, it's not happening for me. So I turned 37 about 4 weeks before this year's pro Q, and I didn't see it the way that it had panned out. You know, I sort of thought pro card 35, do 3 or 4 years on the pro circuit and then go and do something else with my life. But it just didn't kind of pan out that way. So I reassessed it, and I was in a position where I had been offered a visa in America. I could have gone over and lived there, and that's what I would have done, just gone and given the pro circuit a real crack. I believed I had potential to be competitive on the pro circuit. I really did believe that. So that's been a little bit hard to accept and to let go of as well. But you know, it went the way it went, and I just have to say that I gave it everything. You know, there's nothing I could have done that I didn't do. So I'm proud to be able to say that.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, if you hadn't done everything that you know could to be your best, it's almost like you'd kind of look back and think, what if, or whatever. But it's almost like a relief that you know you've done everything you can and you've tried your hardest.
Yeah, I absolutely did, and I don't think anyone could deny me of that. So that's something that I feel really good about and super proud of, actually.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about, like, figure in the pro league as it is at the moment, the way it's being judged? And obviously we've got the champion at the moment, Nicole Wilkins, or the Olympia champion at the moment, Nicole Wilkins, who, you know, many people liked her look at the Olympia last year, and they actually liked the slightly harder, slightly more muscular look, which we haven't really seen in years past. I mean, we had Erin Stern winning, who is, you know, still muscular, but, you know, slightly softer and slightly less muscular than we saw in Nicole Wilkins. Do you like the way figure's moving at the moment?
I love it. I think for the first time in at least 3 years, when Nicole Wilkins-Lee walked out on stage and I was watching the webcast, I just was like, thank the Lord, you know. It's
gone. We were all happy, weren't we?
Oh, God. She just walked out and hit that front pose, and I just was like, it's all over. And I'm the biggest Candace Keane fan on the face of the planet. You know, I've become quite friendly with Candace, and you know, she's really sweet. She wrote me little messages the morning of the pro Q saying that she was thinking of me. And I was just, she's just a really nice girl. But wow, when Nicole Wilkins-Lee walked out and I was watching the webcast, I just thought it's just all over. And I hadn't even seen the other girls. She brought what I believe should be the standard at the professional level. And she absolutely earned that Olympia title. It's the first time I've really been really impressed with Nicole's physique, to be honest.
Yeah, and what do you think about the other divisions? Obviously, you've got bikini and you've got, obviously, physique, which obviously Amy is an IFBB pro in now. But how do you think those divisions are developing? And because some people even said, oh, you know, Nicole Wilkins, she'd win a physique class, which I'm not entirely sure if she is quite big enough for that. But how do you think those classes are developing? And do you think there's enough actual separation between the classes?
That's a really interesting question. I think there really should be 4 or 5 kilos of muscle between, you know, a top level figure competitor and a physique competitor. My boyfriend at the time said to me when, because there was, you know, there was the odd comment here and there after I did the pro QR, you would have placed in the top three in the open physique division down at FedEx this year. And as much as I'm happy to take that on board, I didn't really pay too much attention because it's just not where I wanted to be. Yeah. But I guess in saying that, when I spoke to Harry about it, he said to me, you know, Katie, you would need another 4 kilos at least of lean muscle to be competitive as a physique competitor. And I agree with him, Xavier. I think
he's pretty on the money, old Harry, isn't he?
He's on the money, all right. He knows exactly what he's talking about. He has a lot of experience and he's got a very good eye. Very good. So, you know, I think, when you've got a girl that's shorter in a division, of course she's going to look more muscular, but I think, you know, I think Amy looks physique. I think Nicole Wilkins-Lee, where she was at the Olympia, is the most muscle a figure competitor should carry. I don't think they should be any more muscular than that. And I just think it really probably comes down to legs, to be honest, Xavier. I think a physique competitor's legs should look more like a, you know, I think a little bit more like a bodybuilder's legs, and figure competitors shouldn't have legs that look like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, I haven't actually heard too many people say that kind of, have that kind of opinion that I actually have, because, you know, people say, oh, you know, she's in figure, she could easily do physique, you know, she's the size of a pro physique girl. I don't think people actually realize how muscular some of these pro physique girls are. I mean, you've obviously got, you know, Amy Fox, who is, I think, you know, probably the average or slightly more muscular than the average physique girl in America. And you know, you look at Amy's legs, like, you know, they're outstanding. So that's a little different.
Thanks, Xavier. Just for comparisons, like, for example, like, Katie, what was your lean mass on stage? Do you know what your, or at least your body weight was the day that you hopped on stage?
Yeah, I normally compete. 2012, I competed between 53 and 54, and on stage at the Pro Q, I was 58.
58 kilos. So I was basically 10 kilos heavier than you that day for the physique division. So it's a big difference, really. And Harry saying, you know, an extra 4 kilos to be competitive, I mean, you're shorter than me, and I would agree with him. I would say that you definitely need more muscle, but you're almost borderline, almost too muscly for the figure, just by the way it's going anyway, and the other girls that you're up against on the day.
Yeah, I think even, like, you know, if Katie, if you had 2 kilos of muscle or something like that, then you'd be definitely competitive, especially on an amateur level as well. And I think with the physique division, there can be a little bit of variance in terms of the muscular size. I don't know if you guys think that or...
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. And I think, I guess going back to, you know, even in Amy's division, you put Amy next to a tall physique competitor, and obviously, just like with male bodybuilding, you know, she looks twice the size. You put me in that pro queue this year next to girls like MJ and Andy Forbes, and who are all great competitors, and they've got beautiful symmetry, and they had lovely conditioning, and they had nice V-tapers, but I had symmetry for my height as well. But next to those girls, I just looked so muscular because of my height.
It's all on an illusion, really, and it really depends on who shows up on the day.
Absolutely. So, you know, someone like Sylvia has got more muscle. Someone like me has got, you know, significantly more muscle on that stage in that lineup. Some people can look at us or me or whoever and think, oh, you know, borderline physique, but it's just a height thing. You know, we're normally in a lineup with short girls because it's divided between short and tall figure. And the only time in Australia every year, it only happens once, where you see short and tall girls in a lineup together, and it's the pro Q.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think to look at it, it can get quite confusing to actually look at it. And I think the same thing happens in physique. It's just that illusion, you know. But if you look at a competitor individually, you know, are they symmetrical? Are they balanced for their physique? Do they have the right amount of muscle according to their frame and their height, then probably yes. But next to someone who's a lot taller, it might look like it's something that it's not. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah. But I want to just ask, because I've actually had a few girls listen to the show, they actually want to find out what some of you girls actually do in terms of training. And they're like, I mean, a lot of girls out there that want to get into figure are actually confused with what they should do with their training. I've kind of talked to Amy about this, and Amy says, you know, most girls that do figure and physique and stuff like that should be training like a bodybuilder or even bikini as well. But what's your actual, you know, theories on training in terms of like girls that are just getting into figure, girls that are perhaps at your level, how should they should be training? Should they be, you know, backing it off if they've got enough muscle and doing different techniques? What would you do with your, I mean, what do you do with your training now? And what would you do if you were just initially getting into figure?
Well, I think that one thing that became quite apparent for me this season across the shows that I did and where sort of figure was going is they're going for those long lines. That they like, you know, that what Andy Forbes is bringing to stage, they like that. You know, they like that Y shape where you've got the nice long line in the leg, and you've got, you know, conditioning through the glute and the hamstring, like really nice tight condition. And then you sort of, you've got this little waist, and then you go up into a really beautiful V-taper, which those girls are really, they've got that really nice structure. What would I say to girls coming into the sport? I think, wow, if you're short, if you're tall, just develop your V-taper. And how you would do that is, you know, train your back three times a fortnight, twice a week, train your shoulders twice a week, three times a fortnight. I was doing a 5-day rotation, so I would hit muscles like back and shoulders three times a fortnight. And train heavy. Yeah, absolutely. People have their own ideas about, you know, don't do this, don't do that. It thickens your waist. I sort of think most of that stuff is a lot of crap. I think if you want size in your lats and you know, big caps delts, you've got to train with load, you know, you've got to train heavy.
Yeah. Do you agree, Amy? I'm sure you will.
Yeah, I do. And it just, you know, there's proof in the pudding because Katie's, if you've seen over the years, Katie's back completely develop and the amount of thickness and size and even the shape, like you've sort of even changed the shape of like even your V-taper, Katie, which is, I think it's really impressive. So you're obviously doing something right.
Yeah. Yeah. My back has changed a lot in the last couple of years. So that was just down to heavy training. Absolutely.
Yep.
Awesome. Katie, I want to thank you for coming on Girls Dig Muscle Radio. Now, Amy, do you have any, final last questions?
Yes, number one, are you going to hop over to physique, yes or no? And number two, will you do another pro-Q again? Or just consider it?
No,
we'd like to see you do another one anyway.
No and no.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's
okay, fine.
sorry for the disappointment. Look, I will say, I guess a final leaving comment, I will say that I'm still very open to the idea of doing some more international level IFBB shows. I would be very open to, you know, to going and doing the Amateur Olympia or something like that. Yeah, I think for me the pro card thing is kind of done. But I don't feel disappointed at all. And like I said, I gave it, you know, 3 years of my best, and I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, if you said you're doing some international level shows, that still leaves the opportunity open for a pro card. You probably don't want to think about it in that way, but but we'll kind of think about it in that way and hope that you do that. And obviously, you know, for our own selfish reasons, because we want to see another great Australian pro, but obviously we want to see you do whatever makes you happy and stuff like that. And whether that's competing or not, either way, that's great. So, Katie, I want to thank you for coming on Girls Dig Muscle Radio. Do you have any sponsors or anyone out there you want to thank?
Jo Rogers from Style On Stage. She's been sponsoring me since 2011, so thank you very much. All of my bikinis, everything, tanning needs, the whole lot, she's been incredible. Icon Foods, so the Simply Egg Whites guys, they sponsored me about 4 months ago, so... thanks to them, I've had pancakes every morning with their liquid egg whites. So thanks to them and Beauty by Ella and Health Fix Physiotherapy. Yeah.
Awesome. Sounds like you got some great support there, Katie. For Amy Fox and myself, we want to thank you for coming on once again. That's Katie Morris, one of Australia's top IFBB figure competitors.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Welcome back to Girls Dig Muscle Radio. I'm joined by my co-host, IFBB Pro, Amy Fox. Now we're here, we're going to be doing your Ask Amy segment. It's been absent for a while now, Amy. So we've got, I've just got two questions here. And I'll just let you know the questions now. How is this prep different to your first IFBB? How is this prep for your first IFBB Pro show different to your previous preps?
Well, it's not awfully different from the Ukraine prep, like the world prep that I did in September last year. However, for my very first prep, it's like night and day.
It's completely different.
Yeah. So my first prep, what did I eat? I think I did like a 3-day split or 3-day rotation diet from like 900 calories, and then it went to like 1,000 calories or something, and then on the third day I was up at a whopping 1,200 calories and wondering why I was like binge eating every 4 days because, you know, I was starving and I couldn't understand why. everything. Training intensity is different. I thought I was training hard when I first started. Looking back now, I was training like, you know, it was pretty much pointless. I wasn't really going to get anywhere. Everything's different.
Yeah. Now I've seen you train, like, obviously I've seen you be trained by Andy. I've seen you train a few other times, and I've trained, you know, shoulders with you as well. Now you train very hard. Like, you do train very hard and put a lot of effort into your training, and you don't mind doing extra sets and extra work in terms of in the gym. And like with your diet, like you've admitted to me before, you struggled a bit with it, and you know, found it hard to not necessarily cheating or binging or anything, but you know, possibly eating a bit more food than is on your diet and stuff. Do you find, like, obviously the training aspect much, much easier than the diet?
No.
You don't?
No. No. I have to really pump myself up to get into the gym because I know it's going to be hard. I know I'm going to suffer. And I know that, like, I've got to prepare myself to fail because, training for me is a chore. Like, it's not enjoyable going into the gym and just like going through the exercises I like, but when I'm actually training for a competition, yeah, there's nothing enjoyable about a session. However, the feeling that I have after I've finished a hardcore workout is unlike any other, and that's the thing that keeps me coming back. So, but yeah, leading into a workout, oh my god, I'm just like hating life.
Oh,
so
really?
I know it's gonna be killer. Yeah.
Is that for every workout, or is that just like legs and back and things like that?
No, it's for everything. Like I feel like absolutely destroyed after a bicep tricep workout lately. Like it's really, really tough. And like I've started training with Shane Smith, in Perth. He's personal training me at the moment. And yeah, like I really have to rev myself up, like listen to some motivational crap before I actually get to the gym. Like I put it on in the car on the way there just to pump myself up, because I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I just can't, like this is going to be tough. Like I know it's going to be tough. I'm going to give it everything. And that's one thing that I actually learned from Milos and Ben Pekulski is, kill every workout. Don't leave the gym not once thinking that you haven't given it your all. And yeah, so that's something that I practice now.
Yeah. Do you ever do like techniques or like, different type giant sets or like sets of, you know, 30 or 20 or something like that to keep the training interesting and like almost like, not enjoyable. You obviously said you don't really enjoy the training, but do you do, do things like that to kind of keep it, you know, to not get bored with it?
Yeah, I do. I do. And the thing is, I always like revert back to, oh, I'm gonna train for technique now. But really, that's just a cop out. Yeah. It's just my way of being lazy. If I train technique.
Yeah, it's cool. It's quite
so,
funny. Like,
yeah, there's no reason. Sorry, Zave, you go.
No, yeah, you go. Yeah.
I was gonna say, yeah, I try and say to Shane as well, you know, we'll focus on a bit of technique, but really, you know, you should be focusing on your technique and busting ass at the same time. There's no reason to sort of slow it down, unless you're injured, of course, but yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. So how's actually, just want to quickly ask this, how's your calves and your Achilles tendon and stuff like that going? Like, you haven't injured them recently?
No, I've been getting a lot of treatment on them, actually. And so I ran on the treadmill for the first time the other day with my training buddy, Inez. She was doing some HIIT training, and she said, come on, do it with me. And I was like, bloody hell. So we both hopped on the treadmill, and I just jogged it out, and it felt not too bad, actually. As long as I've got the treadmill on a big incline, like I had the incline on 15, and I only ran on 8, and that was okay. But as soon as I run on the flat, end of story. Game over. It's awful.
Wow. You kind of think it would be the opposite, but obviously that angle doesn't affect you as much.
Yeah, the angle is pretty good. Like even Mount Street in Perth, like I can jog up that. But yeah, I just have to be very careful. That's all. I can feel it. It sort of gives me warning signs if it's going to go.
Yeah, I have no idea of any of the street names in Perth, pretty much. Everyone starts saying, oh, you know this road, you know that suburb, you know this one. And I'm like, I've lived here for a year.
Well,
I don't pay attention.
Mount Street in Perth is like the biggest killer of a hill known to mankind. Like, it's right near Jacob's Ladder. So you do Jacob's Ladder, which is a bunch of stairs, and then you go down this street called Mount Street, and it's just like a really steep incline. And there's some people there, like my sister's boyfriend at the time was, you know, had a 30-kilo pack on his back, and he would run marathons. So he would belt up and down Jacob's Ladder and Mount Street like 30 times without rest. Now, if you've ever done that just once, even walked up Jacob's Ladder, you would know what a killer it is. So that's sort of that's a feat and a half.
Everyone I talk to that, like, you know, does cardio and all that type of stuff in Perth, they always talk about Jacob's Ladder. That's all. Like the first time someone's like, I'm going to go do Jacob's Ladder, and I had no idea what they was talking about. I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
But, yeah, Jacob's Ladder is a bitch.
Yeah, is it like packed on the weekends or what? Because like everyone talks about it.
Packed.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Packed, yeah.
Well, next question. For you, what is a successful first IFBB physique pro show in terms of placings? Like, what would you walk away with and be happy with? Is it a win or nothing, or?
I have to say a win or nothing. I'm never going to be happy with a non-placing or a second placing. Like, yeah, what can I say?
Yeah, that's I like that, because we obviously want you to win. I mean, could you imagine the feeling of coming into your first pro show and actually winning? Like, how much buzz you would get and what kind of, I mean, you would basically take the physique world by storm, and people would be talking about you for the Olympia, you know what I mean? Like, that's what kind of, I suppose, opportunity you have now being a IFBB physique pro.
Well, the thing with all of these shows, and, you know, Eliane and I have talked about this sort of thing is life-changing. So, I mean, you can go as far as what you believe you can go. So the sky's the limit, and I've really learned a lot of Tony Doherty with, you know, his attitude and his attitude towards, you know, just being successful in general. And, I just think that the opportunity that lies ahead is just, you know, waiting to be taken, so... just got to give it everything.
Yeah, and I've talked in private with other people about, like, you know, we've got obviously, you know, IFBB pros, we've got Ivan Sedek, we've got Luke Timms, we've got Josh Lenardowicz now, we've got Luke Shembri, we've got obviously in the bikini, we've got a lot of really good girls as well. We've got, you know, Ebony Quince, Nina Cilic, we've got a lot of pros in all the divisions.
Summer, yeah, all so many girls.
Yeah, we've got heaps of girls and heaps of, obviously, we've got a fair few guys.
Amory Lazary.
Yeah, all the stare, whichever way you want to pronounce it.
Can we like ring her and ask her, because I thought it was Lazary.
Yeah, we've got to ask her about that. I thought it was Lassere, but you thought it was Lazary. But anyway, I've talked to a lot of people about, you know, like who has the most kind of potential in terms of competing in the Olympia, doing well and stuff. And even though you've only just turned pro, Amy, I've said, you know, Amy has the most potential to do really, really well out of any Australian, you know, in any division. So it's I think sometimes maybe, I don't know if you realize how much potential you have or how much, I don't know, potential to do well quickly you have. I mean, because a lot of these guys that turn pro, they still need to add, you know, 10 kilos of muscle, which can take, you know, up to 5 years, or they might not even achieve that. So, yeah, in terms of what, you know, what potential you have, it's absolutely through the roof. And obviously, if you, you know, got to the Olympia stage this year, or you won a contest or anything like that, that would be absolutely awesome. And that would be awesome for the radio show as well.
Yeah, well, that's it.
that's all I'm concerned about. No, not really.
Yeah, kickbacks.
No, but honestly, though, like, it's, yeah, I'm not saying that to suck up to you or anything like that, but you do have a huge amount of potential, and I'm very, very excited to see you competing in all these shows coming up, and I imagine that you're obviously very excited as well.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I really appreciate all the support that you give me, Xavier. You really do. Yeah, it really does mean a lot to me. I will try my hardest, I promise, to, you know, bring some glory to the radio show. But, you know, I've got a long way to go. I'm not Olympia quality yet, I believe. I think that I can get there, no doubt about it. But it's going to take a hell of a lot of hard work. It's going to take a hell of a lot of support. Like, I really value people like you and Tony Doherty and Mike O'Mara and the people that, you know, sort of rally together to make things happen for me, because this is my career at the end of the day now. And it just can't be achieved on my own.
Yeah.
I need everyone around me. So it's been really, really cool, actually. And I just hope that, you know, more people get to experience what I've experienced so far, because it's awesome.
Yeah, and I obviously want to mention as well, there's no discredit to any of the other competitors in terms of competing at the Olympia or anything like that. Obviously, you've got Amanda Doherty, who's doing really well. I just want to mention her. I didn't mention her. It's obviously you've got Renee Smith and Elian and Asher Pryor.
Yeah.
And I feel bad leaving people out.
No, well, I think it's different with those girls, because their division is completely established, and I think this is why maybe I do have a better chance. It's because my sport, like my division being physique, is so new that there really aren't that many competitors in it. Like, I mean, I've won the pro Q up against two other girls, like, you know, Elian won up against what, eight? Like, it's just, it's not at the same level yet. So I've kind of got to make the most of it being, you know, a baby in the whole arena sort of thing. So, yeah, I think those girls have got it a hell of a lot tougher. And if they do make it, then in my opinion, they're much better than me, because they've done it against so many other good girls.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I totally agree with you there, Amy. And yeah, like we said, obviously, you know, doing it in figure, I don't want to say it's more tough, because obviously, you know, to get in physique, you've got to have more muscle, and it's kind of, it's totally different, I mean, the way it works. But in figure, it's, you know, there's so many girls to compete against. You know, a lot of pro shows, you'll go to them and you look at the photos and there's 40 in the figure division in a pro league. And it's like, wow, like, how do you judge that? You know, you've got the top names, which are going to be up there just by virtue of them getting a look in a bit easier. And then you've got to actually really stand out. Yeah, your physique has to stand out from these other girls, and you have to have a little bit something extra. So,
like, I think about Renee and Elian going into the New York Pro. Like, they're up against girls that are seasoned competitors, like Candace Keane, Candace Lewis, all those girls. They turn up to every show. Like, these are Olympia quality girls that they're up against. For me, it's not really like that. Like, Danielene Bailey's not competing until the Olympia. Like, she's I don't even have to worry about her being there. So there's just so many unknowns that are going into it, which, you know, is obviously works in my favor. But yeah, that I just think it's so much harder for the girls in figure and bikini at the moment. But no doubt physique will catch up, but it's not there yet.
Yeah, totally agree. Now, Amy, you wanted to mention something about female bodybuilding in terms of, like, where it's at and what's going on with female bodybuilding at the moment, because there's been, I mean, obviously it was dropped from Arnold Classic, which was a big deal. Many said it was going to be dropped from the Olympia last year or next year. No, from this year's Olympia, sorry. And it wasn't dropped. They retained the female bodybuilding class at the Olympia, which I think is important for these other pro shows as well, because if it's dropped from the Olympia, and that takes out the qualifying, and it seems like it would kind of fizzle out at that point. But they've kept it in there, which is really good to see. And, I mean, but you're kind of, I mean, I don't know if you're upset about, you know, the way it's going or what's happening with it.
Yeah, I do. I think it's like, I don't know if I can really, like, say it without getting myself into trouble, but I find it's, like, a little bit sad and a little bit discriminatory to say that women aren't allowed to get that big anymore, or they don't want women, or they're not going to have a place for women that, that choose to be that big. Like, if a man wants to be as big as humanly possible, then everyone's all for it. Yes, a lot of people don't like it, fine, but there's a place for them. I find that it's funny that just because a woman decides to be absolutely gigantic, that it's frowned upon. Like, that's her choice. I think there should be still a place for her if that's the way she chooses to look. There's categories for men's physiques, for men that don't want to get big and muscly. There's categories for women that don't want to get too muscly. But it doesn't sort of work on the flip side with, you know, how big can a woman get? And I think that that's, I think that's sad.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And they are keeping it in the IFBB. They haven't said it's disappearing or anything like that. There has been obviously suggestions, especially from media and things like that. But they have kept it at the Olympia. They have kept it on the pro schedule. And there's actually, I think there's just as many or maybe one more women's physique pro show this year. So it's not like it's died out or anything like that. And there's obviously that Wings of Strength that sponsor a few of the women's divisions, and they put a lot...
Yeah, Christine Anvil's doing that one.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Wings of Strength is a company. They put a lot of money into the women's side of things. So that's obviously always good. And that we, you know, without them, I think it possibly could have died out. It would have already maybe been gone. So the support they put into it is absolutely great. And you know, I can understand it from both points of view, you know what I mean? Like, if you're a promoter and you have to pay a sanction fee to have that at your contest, and you think, you know, will we sell any more door tickets or will we just do whatever, you got to kind of, you know, financially have to think about it as well. You know, it might be different for promoters that have plenty of money, but it does seem like, I mean, these women's, you know, if there is a market for it, and it's in an area that's, you know, where you can market it and sell tickets because of it. And I mean, these women, because there is, you know, obviously a lot fewer shows, there is a lot of women showing up and the standard is really high. So, but where it's at now with the amount of pro shows they have, I actually don't mind it because the standard is really high at these shows.
Yeah, it totally is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I totally understand when it comes to, you know, promoters making money and things like that. Like, I understand that. It's a business decision. If they're not making money off it, then so be it. But,
it seems like every show that had a female bodybuilding division, it had more media there. Because I seem to, like, there's only about five or six pro shows outside of the Olympia and the Arnold last year. And every single one I seem to be able to keep up with. There was wrap-up videos, obviously, on RX Muscle, and there's all photos and stuff. So it seemed like every comp there was at, it seemed to get more media attention. So I don't know if that has, you know, that might be an incentive for these promoters to have a female bodybuilding. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I enjoyed it last year following Christine's progress and obviously seeing these pro shows and seeing who wins and all that stuff. So, I mean, I still enjoy it on the pro league, so hopefully they keep it
around.
Me too.
Yeah, I agree.
Awesome. Anyway, Amy, that's it for episode number 8, maybe? I'm not sure. I don't know how many episodes we've done now of Girls
Thing. This is 9.
Number 9
now.
Wow. Yeah. We'll have to obviously get some sponsors on board very, very soon. We do have some that we're talking to and stuff at the moment. So if you do want to sponsor our site and you think you'd be a good fit with us and you've obviously got a product that's reputable and it's something that we like, contact me at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send me or Amy a message through Facebook. And also, I just want to thank people out there for sharing the radio show when it goes up. So please just try to share it around and share it with your friends. Encourage them to jump on and listen to our show, because I mean, we have guys listening to this show. We have Scott Goble listening to it, who he said he loves it. So he actually does. He said to me, is there going to be Girls Do Muscle Radio this week? And I was like, yes. He's like, oh, good. And he's there, which is quite funny. So I really like that. And I do know there's a fair few other guys that listen to it as well. So thank you everyone out there for sharing and listening to the show. Like RX Muscle Australia @RX Muscle Australia on Instagram. And yeah, tune in every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. for your weekly dose of Girls Dig Muscle Radio. That's it for Amy Fox and Xavier Wills. We're out. Like we always do with this time. I get to shine, to shine, to shine, to shine, to shine.